Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
There. I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongWuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I am joined by Ben.
Hi.
Sam.
There's a bug on my napkin.
Thanks for the info. And no Bella.
Hello.
It's creepy.
Martin is supposed to be here, but he's not. So if he randomly shows up during the podcast, that means he finally showed up.
Don't be alarmed.
Yeah. Better
show. Should I kill this bug?
No. Okay.
Gosh.
Email us at podcast@dongwufang.net. And yeah. Okay, today we are going to be talking about some Avatar news. Then we are going to talk about what bending is based off of. So I call this genetics discussion because that's usually what we argue about. And we'll have fan emails along the way during that. And then we'll talk about the future. So like last podcast, we talked about some unanswered questions during the show. This podcast will talk about stuff that will happen or could happen after the show ends. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, so first we're going to start with some DF news, which is dissertation for the debut. Our watch an episode every week and then have weekly trivia still going on. Details for weekly trivia and the episode are posted on Tuesdays. Check on DongWuFang.net for stuff. Yeah. Avatar news. A new trailer will be attached to Iron Man 2, which comes out on May 7th, so we have to wait until May 7th for another trailer, and this comes from producer Frank Marshall's Twitter account. Okay, another thing for the movie, various media people had a sit-down with M. Night to have a video. I think they haven't posted the video yet, but it'll coming, but various websites have posted a couple of things about it, which you can see all of these at DongWuFang.net. They are on the main page. Some interesting things. Did you guys read that stuff?
No.
Momo's gonna be in it for sure.
First of all, Sam, wow. Second of all...
Okay.
Yeah, Momo's in it for sure. We knew this though. So M. Night is
no
already
no Cabbage Man.
No Cabbage Man, unfortunately.
Oh wait, I read the article. I just didn't read your little point summaries.
Well, that's not even mine. I stole them from someone who I credit in the post. Okay. M. Night's already done two drafts for the second script, so it looks like. I mean, we've known they're in the production phase of the second movie, but the second movie hasn't been green-lighted yet, so it's not official. A lot of stuff on the fights and stuff. Okay, here's stuff that pisses me off now. There's two things in there. I mean, usually stuff from the movie isn't really piss me off. I've been very pro-movie, but... So, yeah, so at one point, M. Night talks about, or they post some stuff on the casting. There were no preferences during casting. So yeah, he says that. He says stuff like that. He said cast the lead characters was done without bias, which I agree with. It was good. But then he says Toph will be Asian in the sequel, which kind of doesn't make sense to me, since if you're casting without bias, how have you already declared Toph as Asian? And I'm pretty sure Toph hasn't been casted yet. If she has, then that would make sense. But if not, I think that's hypocritical. And I don't care if the rest of the Earth Nation is Asian, because Zuko is Indian, and the rest of the Fire Nation probably isn't Indian, and Katara and Sokka are white, and a lot of the Water Tribe is Asian. So, if we're not casting with the basis of race, then don't say Toph is going to be Asian. I want the best actress for Toph to be Toph, and I think that sentiment could be echoed around most of the fandom. So, yeah. Okay. That's point one. Point two, this one isn't as, like, definite. Like, the last one, I'm pretty sure, like, I 100% sure believe in. This one is, he says at one point that he would want to add what happens to Ursa to the end of the third movie if they get there. Which, okay, what are you guys' opinions on that? Would you guys like to see that at the end of the third movie?
I think
we don't know, though, so how is he going to do it?
Yeah.
Well, we know that Mike storyboarded.
Mike did storyboard an Ursa scene. I think if a lot of fans would be okay with it if he just used what Mike storyboarded.
Yes.
I'm actually not okay with that because, okay, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know my crazy theory that anything that the creators say outside of the show isn't canon, which I think in order for it to be canon, it has to be within the show. So Mike didn't put the Ursa scene in the show. It's not canon. And this theory is not echoed by pretty much anyone else. So don't take this as like a definite. This is just my little thing. It's like this also will come into play during our genetics discussion because Mike and Brian said during an interview that they don't think Bending is based on genetics, but I don't really care about that because they didn't put it in the show. That being said, I don't know. I kind of have a problem with them introducing new material in a movie that is supposed to be an adaptation. I don't know. Can anyone see where I'm coming from?
I see where you're coming from, but I think a lot of fans, myself included, want some kind of closure with Ursa. Because that is one of the things I didn't like about the finale. We didn't get that closure. And I think that's something we need.
Yeah, and
as long as Mike and Brian are okay with it, like what he's decided, then I think it should be fine and it should be in the movie if we end up getting to a third movie. So
yeah. Maybe, yeah, I know. Maybe I just have this opinion because I don't really want to see what happened there, so I guess. I don't know. That doesn't strike me as important. Maybe it's and maybe that comes from the fact that I think Ursa died. So I don't think, which is kind of contradicted by the fact that Mike actually storyboarded the scene.
The problem is they built it up quite a bit, especially in book three.
There's only two episodes that ended up addressing it. I think, well, maybe in maybe Southern Raiders, but we like to forget that episode, which we'll get to.
No.
Yes, Martin would argue. Okay. But yeah.
I don't care what Martin says. Martin go cast himself off a bridge for all I care.
Well, yeah, cool. He's not here, so yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, okay, so that's all for that. Next thing is, there's this one line in an article about Nick's future plans where they interviewed the president of Nick, and there's this one line that said Nick has Mike and Brian developing a new series.
Yay.
Which kind of cast fandom a little bit in the chaos. But it's one line in the thing. So I honestly would not take this very seriously right now. I mean, it's very credible since it's coming from the president of Nick, but there's nothing else other than one line. We don't know anything about it. We don't know if it's going to be Avatar related. We don't even know. We assume it's going to be Mike and Brian created, but we don't even know if they'll be like as involved or anything. Jake is trying to get info. Nothing so far. I assume we'll get information at some point on this. So let's talk about this. Would you guys instantly watch just because it's Mike and Brian?
No.
I'd wait and see commercials first and see how it is. Maybe watch the first episode, and if I don't like it, I'd stop watching.
Yeah, I think that's the mentality of most of the fandom. I did a poll on this for DF that was only up for like a couple days. Was it 9 people voted? It's because I took it down the same day. But 7 said they would definitely watch at least the first couple episodes to see how it is. I think there are those that would watch it the whole way through because it's Mike and Brian. I wouldn't put myself in that camp because I think without the Avatar crew, Mike and Brian aren't as special. They're still amazing for having created Avatar, but I think sometimes people put too much weight on them.
Just a couple of wet blankets.
I didn't say that, but like,
they're not all that in bag of chips.
Yeah.
The rest of the Avatar crew, they're just wet blankets.
Well, no. I'm saying people think they are, but but not that they don't take the crew into account. Whereas there's like 5+ writers, like over the course, 5+ directors, a whole bunch of storyboard artists that are very important in the making of the show. And it doesn't, and we don't know if they're coming back. They could be coming back, but we might have heard something more if the whole Avatar crew was coming back. Okay, so any theories as to what this show could be? If it is Avatar related, anyone think they know what it would be on?
The babies! The 69 Cloud babies.
No, like Iris, like crap going on, I think.
So you guys think there's a chance that it could be a continuation of the Aang plotline?
No.
I mean, like,
I
Aang.
It'll be like one of those, like, kind of spin off ones. Like,
I think if it's going to be Avatar Universe, it's going to take place in the future or in the past. I definitely don't think it's going to be Aang's timeline. I don't think we'll see anything involving the character.
I would love to see a storyline that's like 100 years in the future, and this time the comet could potentially destroy the world!
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it would be something like in the future, like a full Avatar cycle after, or... And I mean, then we'd get to see the future of the Air Nomads, which is something we're definitely going to be talking about later in this podcast.
Oh, of course.
That's very important, is to our genetics future discussion. Okay, so now we're going to get into what bending is based off of. Oh, by the way, here's Allie.
Hi.
Allie randomly showed up, yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I'm hoping that happens with Martin, but it doesn't look like it. Anyway. Okay, so this discussion is very... This isn't for everyone. This is more of a... This is definitely more of like an argument topic than a... We're going to talk about an episode. This encompasses... It's one of those things that there's definitely no definitive answer to, and it's meant to generate discussion. So I think this is the fourth time we've discussed this on the podcast. We've had three... I think we're pretty sure we've had three previous discussions, but they were all pretty early on in the podcast, so you might not have heard them. And things have definitely changed since the finale. So yeah, the finale changes things, and we're going to get into that. So there are basically three theories as to what bending is based on. If you listened before, there's only two theories, but we have to add one because of the finale. First theory is the camp I am part of, as to genetics, and how bending is a trait that is passed on by inheritance. That is one theory. The second,
will be Punnett squares.
Yes, Punnett squares. I don't know if we'll actually get into Punnett squares, but we could.
I hate Punnett squares. I just got done that in biology.
It's bio class on the podcast.
God, no.
So yes,
let's not do that for the kids.
No, I like Punnett squares and stuff. It's very fun.
No.
So yes.
Nobody else does.
Well, too bad. It's my podcast. So second,
it's the weekend. No school.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have school. School on Saturday. Second theory is that bending is based off of whatever environment you grow up on. And this kind of actually blends with genetics a little bit, because traits show up. A lot of traits are dependent on environment. But the theory with environment is that, like, you grow up in the water tribes, you become a waterbender. Environment's almost like in between genetics and spiritual, because it also kind of merges with spiritual a little bit, as in... You kind of, certain places have different spiritual energy than others. That's one school of thought. So then there's also spiritually, which I'm not too sure the entire argument for, because Martin was supposed to argue that, but we'll figure it out. And that argument is kind of twisted around, and everything in this argument is twisted around because of spirit bending in the finale. That screwed genetics up a lot, and we'll get into that. So that's our intro. Okay. Now we're going to go over basic arguments for genetics, very basic. And the classic tagline for genetics is that if bending was not based on genetics, then Sokka could be a firebender, couldn't he? Which...
Very unlikely.
Makes no sense, so...
Fish out of water.
So basically, yes. What we've seen throughout the show is that characters... have the same bending capabilities as their parents.
Yes.
We have seen that. And it's kind of, we have to definitely try to avoid assumptions within this argument, because you could say that we never actually saw that, well, okay, for instance, well, one of the an important argument here is the Fire Nation colonies in the Earth Kingdom. We don't actually know that there are firebenders in those colonies. We'd assume that the Fire Nation people in the Fire Nation colonies are firebenders, but I guess we don't know that for sure. So that doesn't necessarily disprove the environment. Mm. And that kind of sidetracked me. But anyway, so yeah, genetics, pass-through, bending is a trait. So we'd assume that bending is the dominant trait and that being a non-bender is the recessive trait, which is why... I guess it could vary from bending type, though, which is why Sokka can be a non-bender and Katara can be a bender, which would make sense because Kaya is a bender and Hakoda is a non-bender, so Hakoda's probably recessive, and Kaya's probably dominant recessive. Punnett squares, here it is. So that would make sense because then 50% of their children would be benders, 50% would be non-benders. So that's kind of the argument there.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, I know. Didn't you like that education?
Do we know for sure Kaya was a bender?
Yeah, but in Southern Raiders, she said... Oh, wait, she's not a bender, I forgot.
Yeah, duh.
Okay, so they both have... Okay, that means that non-bending has to be... recessive. Dominant. Non-bending has to be dominant for water bending, and then... So then they both are are heterozygous, which would put them at dominant recessive, and then Katara got the recessive. Okay.
That special note, kids, if any of these terms confuse you, just Google them.
Just Google them, or ignore them. But yeah, so yeah, I kind of screwed that up. That we definitely get into that. I think I was on my train of thought from when we discussed this in past podcasts when Southern Raiders ended. So anyway. So Katara, there would be a 25% chance of Katara being... a waterbender, and she happened to get it. And which, I guess, I mean, do you assume that everyone... Do we know that most people in the Southern Water Tribe are benders? Or maybe, I think, or are most people non-benders in the Southern Water Tribe?
Well, it said that she was the only waterbender in their tribe.
Well, I mean, that's because the males are away at war, so... And the females got taken away when the Fire Nation invited the female waterbenders.
All right.
But we don't know if any of the male Water Tribe members are waterbenders. We never saw them.
Yeah, Hakoda's away at war, but he's a non-bender.
A lot of the men, though, who went away, though, seem to be non-benders.
Yeah.
And the rest were all killed off, and so we don't know about all the kids that were left there either.
Yeah.
But we're assuming none of them, as we know from what Katara said.
Yeah, but the kids are non-benders, so that means that, yeah, that would mean pretty definitively that in the Southern Water Tribe, at least, water bending is a recessive trait, which is interesting.
But in the North, it seems like it's so much more, more
prevalent.
Yeah, that's the word. Prevalent, just because it's like you saw all the boys with Paku, and you saw all the girls with the healer lady, and there's so many people there who were learning about water bending, like how to use it and stuff.
Yagoda, the healer lady, trivia question. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. There, see, but also, the Northern Water Tribe has a larger population, so 25% of them is a lot larger than 25% of the Southern Water Tribe.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough for basic... These are supposed to be basic intros. Arguments for environment. So, the basic argument for environment is that Mike and Brian said bending was genetics.
There they you did. Go.
I was supposed to find this. I didn't do my homework. I'm sorry. But let's keep talking.
How dare you.
So I can give myself time. So they said... So basically for environment, there's the Fire Nations... The Fire Nation person grows up in the Fire Nations. Some develop firebending, some don't. Maybe it depends on... It probably depends on their upbringing. Maybe it depends on their education, their blah, 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 you know.
I don't think that's likely.
So why doesn't this seem likely to any of you?
It, like, depends on... Never mind.
Anyone else?
Someone else talk.
I'll wait to share my opinions until after we get through all the theories.
Wow, thank you. Okay, let me read this.
Well, that was the plan, wasn't it?
I found the thing, though. Okay, so the interviewer says... Or some mics.
Wait, what?
Okay, so the question is bending genetic or is it some sort of spiritual thing? How does it work? Brian says, Mike and I got new puppies. They're brothers. They have the same mother and father, same litter. Mike's dog can sit in, sit in a crate and be as happy as a clam. My dog just loses all control, everything. Who knows why these things happen? They're beyond our understanding. Yeah, Katara's mom and dad weren't benders. This is what Mike says. Maybe it's a recessive gene. That's what. Oh, well, that would have saved some time if I just read their answer. It took me like 10 minutes to figure that out. I've always seen it as more of a spiritual connections, though. A little bit mysterious. Brian, I mean, we've definitely talked about it. I think, again, sometimes we might not know. It's more of what we don't want it to be. We didn't want it to be like there's a lineage, a royal family or something, and these people can bend, and then there's everyone else's non-bending, people who never will. Some sort of caste system. Mike and I were more attracted to the flux type of universe. The only constant is change, variation, that sort of thing. I'm sure it's a bunch of factors. Interviews note, later they said he described bending as more of a talent. You have some genetic basis for potential, but you could go your whole life without developing the talent into an ability. Some people have more inherent talents than others, while other with minimal inherent talent can still develop it through hard work and practice. He reiterated connection to the spiritual energies and underlying basis. How it manifests itself is based on upbringing and experience. So there's like contradictions in their answers, which is why I kind of discount this. So basically, the part I literally just read said that based on how it manifests itself can still be genetics, because environment is a part of genetics. Which is kind of like, why are we arguing for them if they can be the same thing, but still. So yeah, but then there's the spiritual factor. And this discussion is already wearing me out. So yeah, if it's, there's, see, here's why it, okay, I'm saving that. Okay, so arguments for spiritual. Spirit bending, main argument for spiritual. Chi doesn't seem like a genetic thing. It could be. Bending is based off chi. Ty Lee blocks her chi, she blocks her bending. And if Aang can spirit can take your bending away, it would be, as Martin said, it would be really freaking scary if Aang could actually alter Ozai's genetics. That's insane. But that's the only answer. If bending is based on genetics, Aang would have had to alter Ozai's genetics, or he could have blocked his chi, but his genetic potential could still be there, too. That's another point. So, point, counterpoint. Okay. Now we are now the basic arguments have been said. We are going to do a round table on what everyone...
Why?
Okay, so... So the round table format for future podcastees, it's kind of a pro-con thing, because for con, it's kind of boring. But a pro, you get to hear everyone's voice again. It gets everyone involved, and you can... I'm going to say the person's name when they speak, because the only time we identify them in the beginning is on the podcast, is in the beginning, and sometimes people are confused. So now you get to hear them again. So let's start with Allie. I know you wanted to go first, Allie.
What?
What do you think bending is based off of?
I just think genetics, because it seems more likely. I mean, like, for environmental, it depends on how you're raised. Like, because, like, air is the element of freedom, so you'd have to, like, be... I guess, there's a word I'm looking for. You'd have to be, like...
Free?
Well, no. Like, I guess optimistic, but then I don't know. It just seems more.
You're saying there could be like a certain. Yeah, and I'm looking for that word too. Like,
see,
surrounding you, the certain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing in order for you to develop that quality.
I mean, like.
Atmosphere.
I guess environment doesn't really seem likely to me at all. Spiritual seems more likely to me than that, but I'm going with genetics because it seems more likely.
Okay, Ben.
I actually kind of think it's a mix of everything, really. I mean, I think bending was a gift from, in a supernatural way, and that in order to be a bender, you probably should have had a bender somewhere in your lineage, but the type of bender you can become does kind of depend on where you're raised, though. I mean, because if you could be born into any kind of bender, we could have possibly seen other types of benders born into the air nomads, but everybody who was a bender was an airbender. So yeah. I think that environment does have something to do with it, your family history, But I think it began as a gift, a spiritual gift, if you will.
Yes, and you bring up an interesting point there, because there is an era before the Avatar where people did not bend.
Yes.
And that, so let's get into that. So, people learned, in quotation marks, bending from various sources. We saw that the Earth benders learned it from the badger moles. The water benders learned it from the moon and the push and pull of the tides. And the fire benders learned it from dragons?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
And airbenders learned from the sky bisons.
Yeah, and airbenders learned from sky bisons. So, they learned it from somewhere. But it doesn't really make sense if they just suddenly learned how to bend. So there had to. So my, I guess, theory about that is that there was always a gene in them, but they didn't know how to apply it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Does that make sense to people?
It seems mm-hmm. like the most plausible theory.
So I guess the other thing would be, it could be a spiritual explanation. So did at some point the spirits grant the ability to bend to people, or was it always there?
I think that the spirits helped them, but it may have always been there, but some people were able to realize it, and others were not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe everybody has the potential to be a bender, but some people don't ever realize that gift.
So you can make that argument, and that would be completely anti-genetic. So you can say that everyone has the same bending potential, but it depends on how you're raised and how blah 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 like that, as to how you realize that potential.
I'm not saying everybody has the same potential. I think everybody in one way or another has that spirit in them, that ability, but that ability is stronger in others, and in some cases, for most people, that ability may be near non-existent, but I think in some way it's in some everybody.
So it could be like everyone has chi, but some people's chi works better, I guess?
You could say that, because, I mean, everybody has that energy. Everybody has that energy of life, of spirit, of soul, yeah. However you want to put it. But it doesn't work the same for everybody. It doesn't all... I'm trying to search for the right words. I think you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not the chi expert, but does chi dictate more than bending? Did they establish that anytime?
I don't think so. I mean, we've seen people who've had their chi blocked to become, like, very weak, possibly even paralyzed.
Yeah.
So... And that, like, we've seen Sokka, his chi got blocked by Tai Li.
Yeah, so you have to assume that Sokka has chi too, even though he's a non-bender.
Right. It's just maybe some people have greater control over their chi and ability.
So maybe the bending gene is actually how you... Maybe it's some type of thing involving chi and how you alter your chi. So that's a good... I think that's a good conclusion to draw, is that the bending gene is how you alter or use your chi. For some people, your chi could be used as fire. For some people, it could be air. Some people could be... Your chi doesn't go into any form of bending.
Sorry, does anyone know the actual definition of chi?
I mean, it doesn't really matter, because the only thing we care about is what chi means on Avatar.
Okay. Whatever.
It's true, though. Who cares what the definition is? Chi isn't mentioned too often in the show. But I guess...
Is it ever mentioned?
No, it's mentioned sometimes. Tai Li blocks chi. I think, has talked about chi a couple times. But anyway. So, yeah. Okay, let's go to Sam.
Can I be on the fence?
Yes, you can. Tell me why.
All right, because I was going to, like, argue for environment, since I was thinking about that whole, like, people learn from the moon and dragons and crap, so, like, anybody could learn it, but then the whole... Your whole little discussion you just had 4 seconds ago, that kind of got me thinking about the genetic side, so I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying that because of the learning from things, you think that the environment influenced them to learn bending?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility, I guess. Okay, Bella.
No, edit
but out. I know what I want to say. I agree a lot with what Ben was saying. And I think, like, basically what he's saying is very true. And I also like what Sam said about how people, how it's environmental when they learn from it. But I also think part of that was there was just something that, and I don't even know what I would call it, but that there's just something like a reason why certain people have the ability to bend and others don't.
Genetics.
So do you think that reason is genetics?
I think it's like a kind of a combination of all this like weird stuff, but mostly spiritual.
Mostly spiritual, okay. Yeah, I think, okay, we'll get into that. So that's our roundtable. I want to read some emails here. First, we have an email from Jeff, actually. Jeff, who
our
is
Jeff?
Not here. Our Jeff, yes. This is
wow.
This is 2 years old, though. This is why it's possible. So yeah, I have a lot of emails saved up that I was going through them, like, 200, I was going through 200 podcast emails a couple weeks ago. So yeah, this is 2 years ago, so this was before the finale, and this was also before Jeff was on the podcast. This is when he was still writing in. So I just want to read what he said, because I think he has good points. Okay. So, Jeff says, judging from the fact that there are even stories about the origins of different forms of bending, there must have been some time before bending was learned, since having a legend passed down implies an abrupt change from non-bending to bending. Also, the depictions of war between Oma and Chu's people show that tribes fighting with arrows, a relatively high form of technology if comparing to the dawn of civilization. If bending is genetic, why was there an extended period of time before anyone could bend? My theory is that, at some point, the spirits got together and decided to give humans the ability to bend. They created the dragons, the sky bison, and the badger moles, and gave the moon the ability to bestow power on people. Although the story about how waterbenders started is probably simply false, since there is a symmetry about the four elements. Earth and water are generally mutually exclusive elements. There will never be a huge war between waterbenders and earthbenders. You jinxed it, Jeff. Since there isn't a place where they both have an equal advantage. Fire and air are ubiquitous, since they both depend on air, which is everywhere. True. Air and earth can both always bend, whereas water and firebenders depend on the movement of celestial bodies. Again, true. It is odd that waterbenders would be the only people not to originally learn from an animal. I think that's a good point. My guess is that the original waterbenders have been extinct for a very long time, and they have simply forgotten. All the other original benders are alive, so that it'd be pretty hard to forget. Perhaps the original waterbenders were at some form of elephant koi, or maybe the koi fish themselves. But this is all an aside. That's all an aside. Back to my point. I believe that benders have an external spiritual connection with their place of birth. I came up with this, okay, blah, blah, blah. And that the field is carried with benders wherever they go. And the four varieties do not overlap, or else the Fire Nation colonists would be producing earthbenders and no firebenders. True, the Fire Nation took away all benders of the Southern Water Tribe, but the poles of the earth are the source of water field. At least according to my theory. Just as the nomads had the temples, and the Earth Kingdom and Fire Nation have their own regions, so Katara being born the only bender in her tribe doesn't conflict. Is it a coincidence that 100 years after the near extinction of the Air Nomads, the only people inhabiting the Earth Temple love to fly around? Just as Aang said, they have the spirit of airbenders. I don't like that. But anyway, these different fields are all different aspects of the same Earth. Everything is connected. Since Avatar is the incarnation of the Earth Spirit, he or she would have the ability to bend all four elements, being bonded to all four types. Yeah, I think by the Earth Spirit, he means, like, the planet.
That's a long theory.
Yeah. He makes some interesting points. Okay, let me start by something I didn't like, is it a coincidence that 100 years after the extinction of the Airmeds, people inhabiting their temple love to fly? I think that is coincidence, because in...
Weren't they Earth Kingdom refugees?
Yeah, they're Earth Kingdom refugees that... And he needed to develop some way for Tio to fly around the mechanist, so I don't
Ew.
Think... I mean, he could have been...
It's not Tio, it's Teo.
Oh, we've had this argument before, whatever.
No, but you know...
I pronounce things differently, we know this, okay.
But you know, the thing is that... If we accept that there is some kind of spirituality in the Avatar world, that it is possible that perhaps these people felt a presence. and that they could have been inspired too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I see what he's saying. I don't know if that's necessarily, that's not a solid argument.
No, but I mean, it's, if we accept that there is some form of spirituality, then it's not impossible that that could have happened. It's totally out of the question.
I agree. Okay. Okay. So yeah. So if somehow the Bender's field is carried with them, then that would work for the colonists. But I mean, I don't know how this field would work actually, because if a field is carried with them, then it's just basically spiritual, I guess, because they're not in their place of. So he is saying it's spiritual.
Well, it explains why, like we talked about earlier, why isn't there like earthbenders being born among the air nomads? I think it's an argument for spiritual or genetics or environmental. There's some...
Well, that narrows it down.
Really?
No, I mean, there's obviously some reason why air nomads generally are not producing, you know, other benders.
Yeah.
Why aren't they not producing... There has to be some reason.
Well, that's at the root of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think it does have something. It has something to do with genetics, obviously. I mean, you know, if your parents have brown hair, you have a pretty good chance of getting brown hair. But, you know, perhaps it is a tie to the environment that you're in. There is some kind of spiritual energy that each environment has.
Yeah.
That the people embody.
Yeah. So I mean,
and that's how the bending is passed on, a certain type of bending.
Yeah. So I think I like, at one point I like in Jeff's argument is about how waterbenders learning from the moon isn't probably realistic with the whole, I mean, the main theme, we've been over this before, of Avatar, probably balance before between the four elements, and how in the swamp they say everything is connected, all the four elements are one. So they probably all learned from animals. So he says original waterbenders went extinct, and then later water people learned from the moon. I like that. But okay, let's say those people did learn from the moon, but the original waterbenders were extinct. That would mean that either there had to be some co-breeding between waterbenders and other people in order for the water gene to survive, or that or bending isn't genetic at all. So those would be the two explanations for that. Okay, next email. This is a good one for genetics. Kevin writes 2 years ago, "So if we analyze bending in genetics, I've come to the following conclusions. One, bending is not a mutation. It's simply impossible. Changes in genetic material are very rare, as we see in everyday life." So what he's saying there is that I guess what he's saying is that bending wouldn't be as widespread as it is with a mutation. But I think if the mutation happened very early on, it could be passed down through inheritance. But I guess, I agree, that's probably not as likely. Okay, back to it. Two, the bending gene can both be the dominant or the recessive trait, depending on which nation. We can see this with the air nomads having a dominant trait and the waterbenders having the recessive trait. Also agree with that point. Three, bending is possibly more than just an RR or RR trait. It has more alleles. I would say that something along the lines of big R, little r, XY trait kind of thing, simply because bending is too simple to be just a little r trait. Okay, I'll go over that after we finish. Finally, after analyzing this, I think we can say that perhaps bending is not a gene, but a chromosome, rendering the person a freak of nature, literally. Having another chromosome alters the person, and therefore, I don't think a single gene can have too much of an effect, since genes don't necessarily activate on birth. Chromosomes, on the other hand, have been the reason for mental retardation, etc., although the effects in the Avatar world might be different. Okay, there's a lot of good points in that email. Goes very biology. Okay, let's talk about the simple RR trait thing. So he's saying that, I think he was saying that it could be, that bending could be a sex-linked trait, which means that bending could be attached to the X chromosome, which is kind of, that's how, like, hemophilia and stuff like that diseases are. Some are attached to, I think it's chromosome 23, whatever. So, yeah.
Who cares?
excuse me. But I think it could be sex. It would have to be sex-linked dominant, because sex-linked recessive is much more prevalent in males, and we don't see that among benders. I think we see kind of an equal ratio. But then that would contradict the whole different for each tribe thing. So I don't think it would be sex-linked. He's also could be saying that bending has more alleles. It could be. I forgot the word for it, but whatever. It could be like four of them. It could be multiple inheritance.
Code dominance.
That's what we went over. Yeah, in Vialglass. It could be the one that's like eye color, like how there's not just a couple of genes for it. I forgot which one that was.
Oh.
But yeah, it could be that. So there's other possibilities. I don't really want to get in each one. Okay, I like his chromosome theory. That's very interesting. Because with a gene, there's, like, limited possibilities. But with a chromosome, it's a whole nother story. But then, I think, wouldn't there have to be a mutation for a person's chromosome? There would have to be a mutation at some point. But then how is one child going to get a different chromosome? How is another child going to not get a different chromosome? Then it would have to be a mutation each time, which you already said in the beginning wasn't that good. So, I don't know. Anyone know enough about this to comment on it?
No way.
Ben, you're the smart one here.
I don't know. That's a lot to take in at the moment. So I might have to think on that.
Okay. So let's skip that for now.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, let's skip that. Okay. So there's some different genetics possibilities. There's a whole... We could get way more into this, but already you're running a little bit late. Okay, so there's a recent email. Remember I said... for people to send in their genetic series. So here's one from Joe, not podcast Joe. If bending, style of bending, ability to bend, etc., was passed along through one's genes, that would be why we have seen lineages of benders. Example, Katara's mother isn't a bender. Ozai to his children, Haru's father to Huru. It could also be concluded that the ability to bend is affected by the person's environment, as we see other styles of bending, etc., sand, blood. We know that from Iroh that the source of energy from bending comes from a person's chi, which is the amount directly correlates to how powerful someone can bend. Example, Azula has more chi than Zuko, as she can bend lightning and he cannot. So the structure of anyone's body is determined by their parents' genes, so chi mustn't be an exception. But the ability to bend at all does not depend on how much chi a person has, but how they tap into it. So the ability to bend is affected both genetically and environmentally. So I think that's a good argument for both of them.
Let me put the phone down for a sec.
So, the interesting thing he brings up is the different forms of bending. Sand bending, blood bending, possibly lightning. But that's kind of a little bit separate from those two. So he's saying that those two are affected by a person's environment. Which I don't know if that's true. I think Toph could Toph bend sand? Toph can't bend sand. That's interesting.
Wait, yes she can. In the desert she did.
Not really.
No, she didn't. She couldn't see in the desert.
No, but then
she said it was cloudy, that's right.
No, but then when the library was sinking, she bended something on the ground.
She bended the sand together, and then she did it again in 318.
Okay, yeah, so she had to, like, didn't she, like, she had to mutate it to use it, right?
She can sand bend in 318.
Yeah, because she's, yeah, she like, can practicing my sand bending.
Okay, so she had to learn it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Like, she had to learn metal bending.
Yeah, okay, so basically... It's just the sandbenders happen to be around a lot of sand, so they just learned sandbending, you know. But that doesn't necessarily prove environment, because they're still earthbenders.
It's simply it's a simply adaptation to your environment in the case of sandbending.
Yeah, so maybe that involves adapting your chi, though. Maybe they learned how to do that because of their environment.
That's possible.
Okay. So, I put a poll up on Dongufeng, which only 48 people voted on, which is kind of sad.
48?
Yeah, I know. Not a lot of traffic to DF.
No, I'm asking, only? That's a lot of people.
What are you talking about? No, that's not. Past DF polls had like hundreds and hundreds of people voting. That was when we were revealing episode titles, though. No, no one's saying. Okay, so I said, this is before I started thinking about spiritual. So I said, do you think bending is based on genetics or environment? Almost half the people said a combination of the two. About 20% of the people said genetics. About 20% of the people said neither. And about 15% of the people said environment. So about half of the people think genetics and environment, but that, I didn't say spiritual, so that kind of...
You should make a new one that says spiritual.
Yeah, we could get one person to vote by the time we had to talk about it now.
Not just... Never mind.
I mean, like, for next week, yeah. So, let's get into some different things. So, here's what I want... I want to talk about spirit bending now, because we briefly mentioned it before.
Oh, God.
So, okay, does anyone... Can anyone tell me... Allie, can you repeat for me that scene?
No.
Use your photographic memory of the scene and tell me what happens with it, okay?
No.
You dominate trivia, come on.
Wait, what?
Okay, so... I don't know, Aang, like, puts his hands on Ozai's head and chest, I think, and then... I don't even know what he does. Like, he sees a vision of the lion turtle, and then they both... He turns blue, and Ozai turns red.
Well, you want me to find... I'm finding the lines.
Yeah, they're not lines. They're like,
no, he says that he has an explanation there.
In the era before the Avatar,
yes, yeah,
we bent.
No, I don't remember that.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah, shh. In the era before the Avatar, we bent not the elements, but the energy within.
Yes,
within ourselves.
And then to bend another's energy, you yourself must be, your own spirit must be unbendable, or you will be corrupted and destroyed.
I don't remember that.
I don't even know if I like that, but whatever. So yeah, here's the important quote. In the era before the Avatar, we bend not elements, but the energy within ourselves. What the heck does that mean? Okay. So is the energy chi?
Probably, actually.
I think it's... I hate to reference other materials, but has anybody here played a game called Golden Sun?
No, I haven't played
it. It was for the Game Boy.
No.
Okay, well, in that game, a lot of... it was kind of elemental-based as well, but it was definitely about the will of the mind. And they, like, used the power of their mind to tap into the energy in their bodies, and using their mind, they were able to do different things. Like, basic powers was, like, to move an object a certain amount of length. So I think what they meant by that is people bent the energy within themselves to make things happen, so
that
to speak.
That is interesting. So they're saying, so eventually they applied this energy to elements, but before they could maybe do some of the stuff they could do with bending, but just with energy?
Yes, I think that's what he's referring to.
So what is energy chi, though? Because did they bend their chi, or did they bend what causes chi?
Well, but you could be talking about what kind of energy are we talking? Are we talking about life energy? Chi?
I think by energy means like life energy, you know. I think it's either that or chi, which they're kind of the same thing, you know.
It's essentially the same thing in this case. So I think it is both. So.
Yeah, this type of stuff I don't like about the finale, though. We don't get any solid explanations. So yeah, so let's see. He also says, to bend another's energy, your own spirit... Okay, blah, 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 blah. And then Aang says... Ozai says, what do you do with me? Aang says, I took away your firebending. So, what the heck happens there? Aang puts his hands on Ozai. His spirit is unbendable. His spirit is not corrupted. That's basically saying Aang's good. Good wins over evil. That's what that whole part was saying. And
yeah,
Aang just kind of, I don't know. I've always been iffy on this scene, you know. But Aang takes away Ozai's energy. So
I think what he's talking about here, it goes back to what we talked about with Sokka. How Ty Lee was able to kind of paralyze him. She blocked his chi, even though he's not a bender. He still has chi. I think what Aang did was he permanently put a block on Ozai's cheek. Because if you notice, he was not very on his feet, if you know what I mean. After his bending was taken away, he was not very strong.
Yeah.
Like, he was very weak.
Yeah. So
I think
maybe Aang altered Ozai's chi.
Yes. Or permanently blocked it.
Yes. So, like, well, I mean, I don't know if anyone's chi is actually blocked. Because, like, I don't know if Sokka's chi is blocked. It's more of in a position where it's not, or he can't use it. I guess it's, I think altered maybe is a better word. But anyway, it amounts to the same thing. So Aang... See, I don't know though. They don't say chi. That's the only problem I have with it.
Yeah, they do. Katara does.
No, I mean in this scene.
Which scene?
In the Lion Turtle.
No.
The Lion Turtle doesn't say chi. If he said chi, then this would be
easy. He says energy.
He says energy. We don't know what energy is. I mean, he could
is
be
chi energy.
We don't know. Chi could be energy. Chi. We don't. I mean, we know what chi could be in other mediums, but Avatar. They don't think they ever say chi is energy. They barely ever talk about chi. This is why this topic is so... We could go so many different directions with it. It's not lame. This scene is lame, I think.
I didn't say lame, I said annoying.
Oh. Well, I think the scene is annoying, too. But, so he bends... And, okay, so let's go... We went from the chi point of view. Let's say energy means life energy. So is Aang bending some of Ozai's life out of him through this? Is that possible?
Probably not.
I don't know if he's bending the life out of him as much as he's altering his life energy.
Altering his life energy. I mean, the thing is though that they never mention energy, like life energy, on the show before. They at least mention chi, you know.
I really think it is chi.
Yeah, I think it's chi. I mean, if it's life energy, then what were we? We're just, it's going to be completely random, whatever explanation we come with, because there's no basis for it.
Pretty much.
At least there's some basis of chi.
Some basis of chi.
Here.
Yeah. So, if it's chi, let's. I'm gonna say a theory. I don't know if it's necessarily what I think, but I think most of you will agree with this. So, Aang alters Ozai's chi. Bending is genetically based at its core. Everyone has chi, but genetics determine how you can use your chi. And how your chi can be used. Different people can realize the potential of their chi based on certain environmental factors, but it's still at its core, there's at least some genetic basis. And... Okay, how about that? Do people agree with that, at least that much?
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Sam?
What? I haven't been paying attention, dude. It's so boring.
Oh my goodness, we're talking... Good endorsement of the podcast. So,
I'm like falling asleep right now.
Ignoring Sam.
Everything. No.
Excuse me.
I think a lot of people would agree with that explanation. So now let me continue. I don't know. I can't think of a universally accepted explanation for how bending started.
Genetics.
Was it always genetics? Did they realize the potential? If it's at genetics at its core at some point. Unless there's a mutation, there had to be a genetic basis before they even knew bending.
That's what I think.
Or maybe here's another thing, is that bending could be genetically, trying to think of a word. It doesn't...
Influence?
No, like genetically, it doesn't matter which element. Genetics don't determine which element, but that you have the ability to bend, and that maybe environment or spirit... determines the rest.
That's what I was saying.
It's like maybe...
Yeah.
So like, Sokka doesn't have the bending gene, but if he did, he would be a waterbender because of his environment.
I guess so.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a logical explanation.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, but it makes sense.
I think it would be because of his genetics.
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be some genetic basis for chi potential. I think, and I don't know if it makes sense without it, because there's got to be someone who, a non-bender, who tried and tried and tried to bend, and it just didn't work. So I think chi, at the very least, chi, and how you apply your chi is genetically based. And maybe also what element could also be genetically based, but it also could not.
Okay.
Okay. Any other opinions, comments, before we move on?
No. This debate will go on forever.
Yeah, it will. We're going to have another one. We're going to have another discussion. God, we're going to have part
don't
five.
Make
it's going to happen.
On that
one. Don't worry.
How many have we had so far?
This is our fourth.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, fourth?
This is our fourth.
I got an idea. Why don't we do another one after the movie?
The movie is not going to influence this, though.
Well, let's see if the movie has its own explanation.
I don't even care if the movie has its
own explanation. Shyamalan would totally do that, actually.
But it's not, they're not going to talk about it. Anyway, so what was that? Here's a nice transition. So we've determined. We haven't determined.
His name
anything.
Is so.
We haven't determined anything.
I hate it.
What do you mean you hate his name? Come on.
Oh, God. We're off topic.
We haven't determined anything, but this discussion is very important as to, I think, the main topic of the future discussion. So what happens after the show? Okay, so yeah. Can the Air Nomads be repopulated? Let me establish context. What's interesting about this is I think it was kind of universally accepted for a while in the fandom that they would be by Aang, but there's no basis in the show for it. Which I think is the interesting part.
You know, I could be wrong, but I think Mike and Brian said at a con, someone asked, could the Air Nomads be repopulated? And then they said, Aang is the last airbender, so no.
Yeah, I remember that too. But again, this is why my theory of whatever they say outside of the show is not canon. So, let's apply that to this discussion so we can actually debate it now. So let's say ignore them, because I do that a lot.
I can tell.
So, the question is, will Aang and Katara make cloud babies? That is our
question.
Yes,
they will have 69 cloud babies. I've told you this multiple times.
So, I think this discussion is more important as to, there's several different ways you could go. The most important is which is, can somehow the gene be reintroduced? We're going to apply each theory as to how this could work. So the first, let's start off by saying, I did a poll on DF. Do you think Aang and Katara will repopulate the Air Nomads? 49 votes. 65% said yes, 35% said no. So I think it definitely is a little more universally accepted in the fandom that they will be repopulated. So first before we even do roundtable, I want to go, what would happen with each theory and how would that apply to this? So let's say bending was genetically based. Whether Aang's gene could be passed down to Aang Katara's children would start with, does the Avatar have an airbending gene? And I don't think we know that.
Well, this is kind of, I don't know if this would really make sense, but we know that Roku was Ursa's grandfather, and then, well, actually, he might have gotten that trait from Ozai, so never mind, forget I said that.
Okay. So yeah,
that was my bad.
So what's interesting about this is that if Aang wasn't the Avatar, then this would be a clear explanation. Yes, he could pass down his gene, but Aang is the Avatar. So was Aang born with the airbending gene? I like to think of the Avatar as just something that's born with you. Like, I think Aang was born normally as an airbender, though he's all the normal characteristics, except that he was, I guess, reincarnated with the Avatar spirit. Like, it's like an addition, I guess. Agreed.
It's like, it's because they know, like, when I think Roku's talking about this one day, how, like, when each Avatar dies, they're reincarnated again. So whatever this, I think we had a discussion on this one, like, last podcast or something, but, like, it's like this whole little package you get when you become the Avatar. So I think it's predestined that they just know who the Avatar is, so it just gets passed down through each, and it's not something he, like, acquires over his childhood. It's, like, something that's always there, and that's why they know by a certain age. Like, I think they were saying at the temple when they were telling Aang in the storm that they were like, yeah, like, we know for a while you're the Avatar and stuff. And
Yeah, they knew from an early age because of the toys he picked. Like, that was reminiscent of the Dalai Lama and stuff. But, yeah, so the spirit is in him the whole time. They didn't develop the spirit. That is established. But the question is the spirit an addition, or is Aang the Avatar foremost, and he happens to be born into the Air Nomads, so his genetics would all be screwed with?
It's whatever the first thing you said.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. So, Ben, do you have opinions on this?
I think that the Avatar spirit itself is an entirely separate thing. I think we even... Didn't we touch on this in the last podcast in some way?
We might have.
I gave the argument that the Avatar spirit is a totally separate thing, that Aang is still his own person. He still is his own soul.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Yeah, I agree with this.
I think he could... If there is such a thing as the gene, then Aang could certainly be carrying it, despite him being the Avatar.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good conclusion. I like that phrasing, certainly. Okay, so next would be, if jet bending is purely environmental-based, then of course they could repopulate their nomads, right? All they have to do is stake the Air Temple and make their cloud babies at the Air Temple, and then they'll be
Woo!
Air nomads. Okay, next is... spiritual. That I think this is the biggest iffy one, you know. How do you get spirituality back? Is it just something you can get back? How do you deal with that? But I mean, Aang's the bridge, so he can just go ask spirits, can't he?
I guess so.
You know, just go ask where the spirit resides. That would be awesome. Awesome plot there.
Someone should write that now.
Yeah, I know.
Dylan, write a fanfic.
I'm not gonna know. It would have to be Cat Aang in some way.
I know, so you should write it.
Yeah, I should. Okay, but anyway. The spiritual, I think, is the most one we don't know about. But let's say it's the theory I said, like, 5 minutes ago, whereas it's, like, kind of at its core genetic and then blah, blah, blah. Then I still think then it might, depending on whether the actual gene is air or the actual gene is bending, would depend on which it is. Like if it's just the actual bending gene and then it's environmental based, then Aang and Katara both have the bending gene, they can pass it on to their children. But if it's the air gene, then that's more complicated because Aang has to have to actually have the gene. Okay. So let's go round table. Ben, what is your opinion on this?
I think the Air Nation will be repopulated. Because if it doesn't happen, then the Avatar cycle would be broken.
Yes, that is an interesting
thought.
We don't know what implications that would have on the world itself. So I think that's even if Aang and Katara alone cannot repopulate, somehow I think the spirits would get involved. And somehow they would have a hand in the repopulation. It has to happen.
I agree. I think balance is key in the Avatar world. The spirits would find someone. This is very interesting. It's kind of a side topic here. We're kind of treating the spirits as gods in this discussion, whereas might not necessarily be the case in the Avatar world. We don't really see any intervention other than certain small things. Do the spirits have the power? I mean, maybe it took all of the spirits acting at once in order for them to even create an Avatar spirit. Maybe the spirits aren't as powerful as we think they are.
I don't see them as gods, necessarily, but I certainly think that they have the power to influence the world. Like, they have the means to alter things.
I agree.
From what they are.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I think that, yeah, so what would happen, so let's say we get to WEFA, so we got to Earth, and then the Earth Avatar died, and then would it just skip to water if there was no air nomads? Would an airbender be born into, like, let's say a waterbender family? That would be interesting.
I think it would just, the cycle would break. I totally agree with Ben on that. So I was going to say that.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible for the cycle, but I think that's a very good argument. Okay, Allie, what do you think?
Well, I know they're going to repopulate the air. That's because they're going to have 69 cloud babies, as I keep saying. No, seriously, I totally agree with Ben on the whole the Avatar cycle would be broken if they didn't repopulate the Air Nation. So, and because I believe that genetics is how bending is brought up, so.
Okay. Sam, are you paying attention?
Yes, I am, actually.
Good job.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a given that they're going to repopulate, so... Like, you can just... Look at the finale, dude. Acrimony not very popular.
You're saying it's a given that they're going to copulate. That doesn't necessarily mean that the given result would end up being, you know.
Yeah.
Either way, it's awesome.
Okay.
According to Mike and Brian, it's a given they're going to break up in a couple hours after the finale.
Wait,
did
why?
Did you not
it's given
see
that your face is going to break up in a couple hours because I'm going to punch it.
No. Did you not see the book 4 preview?
Oh, that thing. Okay. I thought you meant like they actually said that.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez.
Bella.
I think it would take a while, and obviously they have it like a little less than 300 years until the next Avatar anyway. Or like, no, or more than that. Because Aang's only 12 or 13 by the end of the series. So I definitely think it's possible. I mean, it's going to take a really long time to repopulate that many people to be able to have like an actual child, like an airbending child, without it being family complication issues, if you know what I mean.
You said something interesting there about the next Avatar. That made me think of something. How is the next Avatar going to learn airbending? It would have to be through one of Aang Katara's children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's the only way, so that means one of them has to be a master airbender.
Aang has to be dead.
Aang has to be dead, so therefore one of their children has to be.
What a joyous day.
What is it?
Oh, dear Lord.
That's my favorite character you're talking about.
Aang's dead. Everybody will
being sarcastic. You guys know I like Aang just as much as the next girl.
This brings up an interesting point, though.
Like Aang, don't joke about him being dead, okay?
Yes, but
Aang is dead!
Okay, but no, but I know what you mean, but I guess it'd just be like, Aang's gonna end up having children, and I'm sure he and Katara are gonna have 69 cloud babies.
Yes.
And so I'm sure one out of the 69 will be an airbender. So obviously, like, Aang's gonna teach them all this stuff, and I guess they'll end up becoming a master in the next air... I don't know what the next in the cycle is. Whatever.
By the way, I think it's very unlikely that they have 69 kids, because that would be kind of impossible. Okay.
That would be really funny, though, if they kept trying. It's like,
Ben, talk, go.
Katara would die.
I would.
Okay. The idea of the next Avatar brings up an interesting point, though. How many generations are we going to go through in terms of kids before Aang dies? We could easily see two, possibly three generations following Aang before he passes.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know how old. We don't even know how old people live to in the Avatar world.
Well, we know
I'm assuming from Iroh and Azulon, pretty old.
I wouldn't say they're over 80.
Well, hang on. We know that, Kiyoshi, she lived to be the oldest. What was she, like 200-something years,
I think?
She was
like 210 years old, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she lived over 200 years, so we could be talking about I'm not assuming he'll live 200 years. Even if he lives to be just 150 years, even.
Just 150 years.
Okay, the point is, that could easily be three generations of children, grandchildren.
You also have to think.
How are they going to have grandchildren?
Are they going to
marry people and then have all of them move back to the air temples to have airbenders?
I mean, that if it's environmental, then yeah, there's their children. By the way, this is a point I wanted to bring up. Airbenders aren't going to be marrying airbenders for a long time, because it would be incest.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
going by the Adam and Eve, it's everyone's incest. But it's like the whole thing has to start from two people, so it's probably going to be maybe 1,000 years before we actually see airbenders themselves mating. It's going to have to be them and of another nation.
So, yeah, like
if, maybe like non-benders.
If it would
have to find a bunch of non-benders, otherwise the gene will start.
The genes probably are separate, so it would just be whichever is dominant. And even if it's recessive, it could still show.
Like if it were an airbender and an earthbender, you never know which one's more dominant. You could have an earthbender or an airbender.
Airbending gene's probably dominant too, because of how many airbenders we saw. There's a better chance of the airbending gene being dominant than any other type, I would say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I so it's probably a good choice there. Was that it? What was I doing? Roundtable?
Yeah, you were doing a roundtable.
Okay, next. But didn't Bella just go?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so let's read an email. From Joe again. Can the Avatar produce offspring? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember any mention of past Avatars having children.
There was.
Well, now there will be.
Wait,
so.
was there a mention?
Yes, because
obviously
it's Ursa's grandfather.
It's implied.
No.
There had to be a direct following from Avatar Roku to Zuko's mom, so the point of Avatars not having children is moot.
Okay, what is? I'm not the biggest Fire Nation side of the story guy, so what is that connection again between Roku and Ursa?
Roku is Ursa's grandfather.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that disproves that. Okay, next. We are debating. Okay, so... Martin was going to argue against. Dang it. We don't have anyone to argue against. But...
Oh, well.
Stupid Martin. Anyway. So, yeah, against... What would the theory... The theory would be that Aang is the last airbender, or that some complication could be in the way. Maybe it's spiritual and they don't know to regain the spiritual side. But I think the definite argument for, and I think this is the most prevalent argument, and screw what the creators say, is that it would throw off the friggin' balance, you know? How can that come back if there's no airbenders? Where's the balance?
That's true.
It almost seems silly to me that, like, one attack by one nation can permanently destroy an entire another nation. It's a reality, but it just seems like...
Stupid.
Yeah, it seems like it's too... maybe it's just... I'm just having pure views here, but I feel like that wouldn't happen. I don't know.
Well, I don't mean to, like, be all historical, but the Holocaust was kind of...
I know, I'm saying genocide has happened, yes, but, I don't know, maybe... But there's, like, there's direct spiritual intervention in the Avatar... They're not direct, but there's possible spiritual intervention in the Avatar world, and there's much more of a emphasis on balance, whereas... We don't necessarily have that in our world.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about that? So, yeah. So, I want to talk about something else involving that. Is Aang going to feel like it's his... If he can repopulate their mounts, he's probably going to feel like it's his duty, right? Like, that's going to be his, like, next task, you know?
Yeah. Mate like a rabbit.
So are they going to have an insane amount of children?
Yes, well, most likely. He wants to populate his people again. I'm sure he's going to want to be like, hey, Katara, let's get moving. Let's have some babies here.
It'd be really funny, actually, if like, on the 100th baby, it's like, is it an airbender yet? No.
So, yeah, but, that reminds me of Fire Metro Mother. Anyway, but, so he said... What was I going to say? But would Aang feel like it's his duty, or do you feel like it's more natural for them to just have a couple of kids? You know, maybe that's a whole part of the balance side.
Considering how he's grown up since season one, I think he would feel like it's his duty, but also that he would want to have kids with her.
Yeah.
Like a mixture of both.
I mean, they got a long time, probably, to have a lot of kids. I mean, honestly, they could probably start in, like, 3 years. I'm just being realistic here. If the marrying age is 16, you know, then Katara will be of marrying age. They could definitely start, but then they probably got like 70 years ish. You know,
my God, even when they're like seniors, they still be having kids.
Wait, no, how long Katara would yeah, actually no, because there's limitations for Katara, which would start kicking in around. 30.
Wait, why?
Forget Katara, then.
Let's not get into this.
Yeah, after 40, it's too dangerous for her. So
it's not dangerous.
No, yes,
but like,
it is.
It'll be
it's
impossible.
Not wise.
It'll be impossible, ignoring the danger factor.
Aang will be perfectly fine until the day he dies.
Yeah, that's true.
Stop joking about him dying.
I'm not.
He's gonna die, Allie.
He wants to have children.
Nothing.
Okay, so yeah. Okay, we've exhausted this. Anyway, okay, next thing. Other future stuff. Emma writes in that the main thing I thought about, I just lost my screen, was that there was no way the citizens of the Fire Nation would go along with Zuko's new leadership. In my opinion, most of the people would rebel against the new Fire Lord. I mean, they're all ruled by psychopaths for so long. It is in their mentality now that the Fire Nation is supreme and whatnot. I don't think Fire Lord Zuko would last very long. He'd be overthrown and the people of Fire Nation would want a new royal family. And this I think this is the other, like, type of somewhat universally accepted thing about the future. Like, every future fanfic I've read, there's been, like, rebellions within the Fire Nation.
I think they would.
I mean, there's always going to be a rebellion when there's a new leader in power. So, I think with Zuko, it's just all the people who are so obsessed with Ozai.
Yeah.
And that the rest of the people are going to be like, okay, like, we know him. Like, he's helped the Avatar trusts him. If the Avatar trusts him, we should, too.
I think there would be a rebellion because the Fire Nation was, like, main power when Ozai was ruler, but now they're becoming, like, less, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
losing their reputation.
Well, yeah, but, like, less dominant, I guess.
Yeah, I think it may have been maybe more of an issue with the superiority complex.
Yeah.
That it was being engraved in their mind. I don't know if they would care as much as they lost all the territory, but now that they're, like, being, they would look at it as being controlled by the Earth Nation, basically. So it would definitely be a fine line. I mean, every future fanfic I've read is Aang attending like meetings between all the nations and stuff like that. I think that's all likely.
Fine.
And how,
you know, Azula. Yeah, there's a bunch of ones with Azula too.
Yeah.
That she like escapes and like attacks Zuko and whatnot.
Oh god.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Azula ones. So would Aang, maybe Aang bends, take Zula's bending away. But she could still be a leader, because she could break out somehow. I don't think Ozai would be a factor. I think he's done.
She will use her ear bending.
Or what?
If you watch, and like froze it frame by frame, in her little last moments of madness, it looks like there's fire coming out of her ears. I've seen that.
Okay.
I have to watch that.
Okay, so bonus emails. Chris says stuff about Martin that's good. Emma says stuff about Sam that's good.
Read the whole email, please.
We're running short on time. I'm about to skip to the end.
Well, Emma, thank you for liking your face jokes.
Yeah. Okay. Future. We went over political future. Mako, they're gonna get married, probably have kids. You know.
I don't want Zuko to repopulate anything.
You don't want Zuko's genes being...
No.
His emo genes!
Zuko X, no one.
And Aang and Katara's kids could get married.
Ew! Awesome!
It's time for a fanfic.
No! Aang and Katara... Wait, no, that'd be incest. Never
That's
mind.
That's a fanfic there.
Okay, what about Sukka? They gonna stay together?
Ooh, I say Taka. Baby Sentro right there.
Taka.
Sokka will be fainting. Suki will be screaming. It'll be quite an adventure.
No, Taka.
I don't know. I don't know about Zuko.
Taka will be his mistress.
Their relationship is very superficial to me. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they go deep at all.
Aren't all teenage relationships superficial?
I mean, they're on a friggin' mission to save the world. It could be a little more depth there, you know. Let me rant about Suki. Okay, I've been having this discussion with Martin for like the past couple of weeks. I don't like Suki.
Yeah, we know.
After
neither do I.
She comes.
He has
okay, so Suki's character in 104 is she's not Mary Sue in 104. By the way, Mary Sue means like a perfect, flawless.
I didn't like Suki at all from the beginning.
In 104, Suki's, I don't know if she's Mary Sue. She is a little. There's like one scene showing a flaw when like Sokka takes her down. And she was like, I wasn't trying or something. But then when she comes back, there's absolutely nothing bad about her. She's totally fluff, or I don't remember what word Martin used. It's so, I don't know, it's so awful. All she is this, what Martin said, she's like hot and perfect, and she's there.
She's
there for that reason.
Stupid.
So then the scene that I don't like about Suki is in Boiling Rock when she captures the warden on... her own, that scene really pissed me off, because it's like, that's your explanation for how that happens, she just does that all on her own, she's too awesome, and then they make a joke about it, and it's, I don't know, anyone share these sentiments?
What was the joke they made?
I don't remember, it's like,
that's
some girl, yeah, see, Allie knows, of course.
I don't know,
some jailbait right there.
So yeah, that pissed me off.
I don't know,
okay. Anyway, if we had more time, I would continue on this rant, but we do not, so... We're gonna
the podcast about Suki next week.
Next week, Suki discusses
the anti-Suki podcast.
Okay, we're gonna close things out. Next week we will be. I will be posting a podcast next week because we're about to record another one now.
Woo!
And it's already 12:30. Jeez, it's gonna go
late. Get excited, Sam.
Staying up all night.
Okay, so yeah, email us podcast@dongufeng.net. Some things I want you to email me about for the future are Avatar State in Katara. We're gonna get into that in the future.
I hate that discussion so much.
And I don't
how
know
how many
what else.
Podcasts have you done about that? Like 6?
Yeah, a lot. We 69. We didn't keep track. 60,
are you kidding me?
We've done 69, yeah. We don't even have 69 podcasts. So so email me about whatever you want to. I didn't get that many emails last time, so email me. But I know people are listening because we had at least 500 listeners so in the last podcast.
I know how amazing Bella is.
We know you're there.
Yeah, we know you're there. Come on. podcast@dongwufeng.net.
Email us or I will find out where you live and TP your house.
No, she won't. Okay. So that's pretty much it. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Ben, Ali, Sam, Bella.
Hi.
Technical director, AJ Kevin. Musical remixes by Luke Tripp. I edit. Dongwufeng is owned by Jake. So yeah, I don't know. That wasn't too good of a podcast. Whatever. So where the frig is
when
Martin?
He gets on, we have to yell at him.
I know. Okay. Let's end in a unison what?
Cloud babies.
Okay, and a unison cloud babies.
Finally! Thank you!
Because it actually makes sense for this podcast. Okay, 1, 2, 3, cloud babies!
Cloud babies!